This week in the studio, Blue Collar Men Tommy Shaw and James Young of Styx for Pieces of Eight's anniversary.
We were all having to deal with how different things were. And, it seemed like the country was going through a similar sort of experience. And we were all starting to get money and we could afford all these things. And we were finding that, wait a second, why isn't this making me happy?
So there's a great deal of, intellectual and emotional change that occurred to us between 77 and 78. And this record, as I look at it, reflects those feelings very clearly now that I look at it. And I know that Pieces of Eight was my way of saying that all this good fortune had come to me, but the most important thing was still making music, and it wasn't about making cash.
Hey everybody, this is James Young.
And this is Tommy Shaw.
We are Styx.
And Dennis DeYoung, and we're in the studio for Pieces of Eight.
It was 1975 when one of the two original guitarists, John Cyrulewski of the Chicago-based band Styx, left the group after recording their fifth album, Equinox. The remaining band members, drummer John Panazzo, his twin brother Chuck on bass, keyboard player, singer-songwriter Dennis DeYoung, and lead guitarist James J.Y. Young, they all thought that they needed a guitarist. Former Styx member Dennis DeYoung and current guitarist J.Y. recalled drafting Alabama native Tommy Shaw.
I remember it vividly because I never even heard of Tommy Shaw, but we were looking for a replacement, and our road manager had known Tommy because he played in a bar band in Chicago for many years. And he says, let me give this guy a call. I think he's terrific. And I said, fine, because Tommy was playing in a bowling alley, playing acoustic guitar. He wasn't even playing rock and roll for the last 6-7 months, I don't think.
James Young.
We really felt that, between the four of us, we could keep the band going. We just needed someone to actually do the parts on stage. And so to have Tommy be as aggressive a writing contributor as he was, and such a stage presence and performer that he was, and were bonuses that we didn't expect to get. But certainly, I would say Tommy arriving in the group was sort of the beginning of us really being a Super Bowl contender, you might say.
That was James Young of Styx. Here's singer, songwriter, guitarist Tommy Shaw of the band.
When John Cyrulewski left Styx suddenly, right before they just released a new album on A&M. They'd been on a local label before that, and they were getting ready to do a national tour. They had a new manager, and they didn't really want to lose stride, so they put out feelers to find somebody quickly, and Vos suggested me. There was another guy who had better hair than me, but he couldn't sing.
Now
how important to the concept is having three lead singers with totally distinct vocal styles and textures?
And willing to sing harmony with each other. That's one thing. It's one thing to be a singer, but to be a lead singer and to be willing to be part of a chorus at the same time. Because that requires you abandoning putting your own spin on the song and singing along with somebody else. That to me, that's one thing that distinguishes Styx, aside from the three lead vocals like that. But it was a huge help for us because we were able to not only just sing the songs that required one voice, but when it came time for the big chorus, it was a piece of cake for us.
Sing for the day,
JY, who's playing the fine acoustic guitar?
On the record, Tommy Shaw played all the acoustic guitar parts. Mm. I mean, he's by far and away has a greater facility on that six-string instrument than I do. And the beautiful thing about this band is we've always, Tommy and I call him the alpha dog, and then he calls me the alpha dog, and then we've ultimately decided that we're the alpha dog tag team, and I also call us the blonde leading the blonde.
1977 Styx album The Grand Illusion, based around Dennis DeYoung's songwriting concept of an America increasingly trading its values for the material trappings of success, it was the breakthrough project that we explored on an earlier edition of In the Studio. The Grand Illusion was the first Styx album to crack the top 10, and the first of four consecutive Styx albums to all sell multi-million copies. It had been over 13 years of struggle, yet coming from working-class families in Chicago, Dennis DeYoung and James J.Y. Young soon realized that Bob Dylan was right. Money doesn't talk, it swears.
There's a period of adjustment for friends and family who are convinced that your new found wealth and status are going to change you in such a way, they feel threatened. But they're in fear of losing you as they have come to know you, and thereby they can react, your friends and family can react in ways that you'd never suspect they would and feel threatened.
Well, you know,
by
I
what's
mean,
happened to
you. A prime example is my dad, who's worked hard all his life and has his own business, looked at me one day across the table and said, "What's it feel like not to have to work?" You know, as if what we do doesn't require a monumental effort and isn't stressful. And you don't have to deal with ups and downs and the fact that, you know, a lot of people are not going to play your records, even though a lot of people did for us at that point in time. But that perception that Dennis was talking about, you know, that a family member could turn to you and say, you know, what's it feel like not to work, just shows that the perception gap that sort of was created by our success, by people close to us. And that was hard to deal with in some ways.
The thing is it's always been our job as musicians, rock and roll musicians, to make it look glamorous, the Grand Illusion, to make it look like it was easy, to make it look like it's fun at all times. It's really our job to portray that to people because we're diversion. That's what we are. We're entertainment for them.
Blue Collar Man was something that Tommy had this little idea, and then we're standing on stage, and Dennis just... It's soundcheck somewhere, and I can't remember where, but Dennis, you know, cranked up his big Hammond organ.
His big organ. He has a big organ. Speaking of his kidneys now.
And speaking of his heart. And just cranked up that beginning riff to Blue Collar Man, and then we went from there.
I'm a
Up next, Styx lead guitarist James Young and former member Dennis DeYoung reveal the altruistic motives in making music. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and you can find a whole lot more, including live Styx, at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Tommy Shaw and James Young of Styx, plus original member Dennis DeYoung for the anniversary of Pieces of Eight.
Hey, everybody. This is James Young.
And this is Tommy Shaw.
We are Styx.
And Dennis DeYoung, and we're in the studio for Pieces of Eight.
With the man himself, Redbeard.
Thanks, guys. The Styx triple platinum Pieces of Eight, which was released September 1st, 1978. Styx lead guitarist James J.Y. Young and former keyboard player, singer-songwriter Dennis D. Young remember this is a memorable time.
That was our first headline tour.
Complete, but you know, actually the back end of Grand Illusion was a headline situation.
Right.
The front end was, we were in the big halls with Aerosmith and Kiss, I remember, clearly. Supporting them.
And headlined some 5,000-seaters ourselves at that point in time as well.
And I remember by the time, you know, when Come Sail Away finally did kick in, at the back end of that, we were out there, you know, doing the headline shot. And I remember we actually headlined in Hawaii at the end of that. Initially, you know, we used to stand behind stage all the time, John Panazzo and I, and we'd, when we were supporting, and see the mounds of amplifiers and equipment for the headliners and the lights. And we used to look and say, when will this ever be our turn? And the Grand Illusion was the thing, obviously, that was the catalyst to allow us to have our turn to get up there and, you know, and be the headliners and, you know, have all the lights and sound and, you know, aggravate the support bands that were on our shows, J.Y. said, and give them 13 feet of space and 27 minutes and no lights.
Payback time.
But we never really did that.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running and I'm so far from my home. Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows and I don't have very long.
Taking something new that I'm there finally. Love.
With this album, Styx had now done two albums in a row with thought-provoking themes running loosely throughout lyrics, often framed with hard rock music. I asked J.Y. if he thought that all 6 million people who bought the Styx albums The Grand Illusion and Pieces of Eight got the message.
I really think that certainly thematically, The Grand Illusion, I think less than half of our audience probably picked up on really what was being said. Pieces of Eight, maybe 10%. You know, I mean, people listen to the music first, especially with a band like Styx. It's the music, it's the sound of the voices and the instruments playing together that people respond to, and the rhythmic feel. One element of what we do, of the creative process, doesn't necessarily reach everyone the first time they see the film, or even the second time they hear the music. We're trying to create something that is not only going to survive the first listening, but is going to survive the 100th listening. And there has to be something of substance there.
Even though Pieces of Eight sold over 1 million copies within 3 weeks of its September 1st, 1978 release, eventually selling more than 3 million, former Styx keyboard player, singer-songwriter Dennis DeYoung admits that Pieces of Eight wasn't his finest moment.
When I look at Pieces of Eight, I think it's my, personally, as a writer, probably my weakest effort of all the A&M albums. That's how I always view this record. And I think in a large part, I was trying personally to live up to some expectations created by The Grand Illusion. We had broken through finally, and there was this, you know, most of the categorization of the band at that time had been art rock band, okay? And it was a very popular format for radio for about 5-6 years, I believe. And I think as a writer, I repressed certain tendencies in myself to try to fit a mold that I perceived was expected of us after the success of The Grand Illusion. And in a large part, I think it was not a good idea. It was detrimental to my own writing. And I was very unhappy after the Pieces of Eight album, not in the record itself, because I really think it was Tommy's contribution on this record is very strong. But my own personal contribution, when I look back at it, I'm not crazy about what I wrote. There's one thing on the record I really don't like at all, and there's nothing that I can point to that I go, you know, probably the thing I like best on this record that I've had anything to do with was probably my collaboration with J.Y. on Queen of Spades.
Thank you. epic live performance in 2011 by Styx of Queen of Spades at the Orpheum Theater in Memphis. Still to come, Styx co-founder and former member Dennis DeYoung will draw uncanny parallels between those times in America when Pieces of Eight was conceived and the uncertain times we find ourselves in once again. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for the 3 million seller by Styx, Pieces of Eight.
Hey, everybody, this is James Young.
And this is Tommy Shaw.
We are Styx.
And Dennis DeYoung, and we're in the studio for Pieces of Eight.
With the man himself, Redbeard.
Again, thank you, guys, which had a puzzling album cover design by the graphic artists at Hypnosis, including the late Storm Thorgerson. Here's former Styx keyboard player, singer-songwriter Dennis DeYoung with an explanation of the album cover art on Pieces of Eight.
Well, it's really very highly intellectual. It's three old broads on Easter Island, as far as I can tell, looking at this thing. Here's the deal. When the people who designed this album cover, Hypnosis, they're English. I think that explains most of it. When they showed me this album cover, I got to tell you, I hated it. You know, I says, "What? Why do you have these old women on our album cover?" It was the first thought that came to my mind. But here was the deal. And of course, now that I've gotten older, these women are starting to look pretty good to me. Pretty much what it's, since Pieces of Eight is about not giving up your dreams in the, just for the pursuit of money and material possessions, this album cover symbolizes these women who are affluent by their demeanor and the way they're dressed, and they all have these earrings on, which are of the Easter Island statues, made famous by, what is his name, Thor Heyerdahl and Aku Aku, which is the book, I believe. And what that supposedly symbolizes is that these women, imagine them all belonging to the same country club, where the status symbol is to have, of course, these earrings, these statue, these little Easter Island earrings, as a symbol of their achievements in life, symbol of their monetary success and materialism. Yet Easter Island, as we all know, is the statues themselves symbolize a lost civilization, which somehow built these wonderful monuments and has completely disappeared without any trace. So I suppose the moral of the story is when you just pursue this sort of thing, this monetary gratification, that perhaps the ultimate goal would be extinction. So there's a great deal of, you know, intellectual and emotional change that occurred to us between 77 and 78. And this record, in a lot of, as I look at it, reflects those feelings very clearly now that I look at it. And I know that Pieces of Eight was my way of saying that all this good fortune had come to me. But the most important thing was still making music, and it wasn't about making cash.
It's 6 o'clock. Good morning sounds are everywhere. Warmth of spring, a gentle breeze blows through my hair. I hurry through my life, never stopping to see how beautiful it was meant to be. I'm just a streets, I overheard a lady say, "We now have everything, or so people say, but now this emptiness haunts me every day. We seek the lion's share, never know.
But former Styx member Dennis DeYoung can't deny that American history is repeating itself.
Not to, you know, to miss the lyrical content of Blue Collar Man, which is really terrific about being unemployed at a time when unemployment was really becoming a, you know, a critical issue in this country. And I just think, you know, Tommy was living at the time in Niles, Michigan, which was right, you know, right in that, was feeling the, you know, the pinch of that whole quarter there from South Chicago up into Gary and Hammond, and, you know, where there was a lot of layoffs in the steel industry, a lot of layoffs in the auto industry, because he even had friends who were involved in the auto industry in Michigan. And
stealing cars?
Stealing cars, as a matter of fact. And so, you know, Blue Collar Man was not only a great rock tune, but it actually was saying something pretty interesting about needing a job and, you know, to have an identity, which is what that song is, I think, truly about, in so much as that so many of us see our jobs as a definition as to who we are, and when you take that away from us, it's more difficult for us to define who we are.
Father, wife, and my friends. nothing I could do. Going to be a blue-collar man. Yeah, hey,
I gotta be a
blue-collar man. Just wanna do. Yeah, hey, blue collar man.
No matter the tempo or the arrangement, Blue Collar Man by Tommy Shaw and Styx is always going to be great. That's the blues groove version that appears on the album Big Bang Theory from 2005. I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests Tommy Shaw and James J.Y. Young, still leading Styx to this day, and also special thanks to Dennis DeYoung. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2018, all rights reserved. Transcription, Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.